2018. Bear with me. I believe there's some technical difficulties here with the Rivendell system, and I don't know if it's streaming over the air. But first up for a double billing, I came across something interesting called Private Eyelashes, Female Private Investigators. This first episode is called Candy Matson. That's the name of the show. This one's titled The Donna Dunham Case. This was an audition program originally air dated the 4th of April, 1949. Hope you enjoy.
Hello, Candy Matson.
I understand you've been hired to find out who knocked off Donna Dunham.
Abrupt and right to the point. That's my business, old man who talks like a ghost.
Take care of your health, little lady. Donna Dunham is dead. Let her stay like that.
You take care of your Q's and I'll show my P's, understood?
Not quite. Listen to this.
Oh, goody, goody. Bullets now delivered by phone. Thanks for the slug. I'll have it identified later.
Maybe you'll be identified later. Remember what I said, Candy Matson. Forget about Donna Dunham.
My name is Candy Matson. I like money, lots of it. That's why I became a private eye. And true, you meet such interesting people. Mostly dead. But getting back to the cash angle, that's why I took on the Donna Dunham case. I knew it was full of dynamite. But a girl has to eat now and then, maintain a penthouse on Telegraph Hill, and keep the moths out of a few mink coats, doesn't she? Sure. And a shot fired into your room from across the street at 3 a.m. is just one of those occupational hazards. So I took the job and the 500 and went to work. Like to hear how the whole thing started? Well, leave us proceed to Act One. I'd had a hard day at the office, sleeping all day, and I needed a bit of a tonic to pick me up. So the natural thing to do was to ground loop into the Marigold room and see what could be done. As I sank down onto one of the padded stools, the dispenser approached. Make it a martini, my good man, very dry. So dry it comes out like a blotter.
Look, lady, nothing would give me more pleasure, but I can't serve you here unless you have an escort.
What? Oh, I'm waiting for someone.
That's what they all say.
But he'll be here very soon.
I know. It never fails.
Why, you low-minded crock. For 2 cents, I'd knock
your... I arrived just in time. Save your 2 cents, my dear.
Huh?
You heard what the lady said? A martini. Make it two.
Sure. I thought it was just another one of those... two martinis.
Well, saved from a fate worse than death. Miss Matson.
Who are you?
A natural question.
And I'd like a natural answer.
Roberts is my name. Warren Roberts.
Oh.
I own a few steamships hither and yon about the world.
Oh, yes, I know. I took a trip on one of your scows once. The food was a nightmare's nightmare.
How do you think I came to be a millionaire?
I see your point. How did you know my name and what do you want?
I have a business proposition to make to you, Miss Matson.
You're sure it's business, Mr. Roberts?
Strictly business, Miss Matson.
Call me Candy. You tell me the details and I'll tell you what it'll cost you.
Fair enough.
But don't faint. You can always make it back on your food.
Well, I can hardly tell you here. Suppose we drop over to my place.
But I want that martini.
My man will make us a batch over there.
Oh, the things I do to make a living... Okay, let's go.
Hey, how about these drinks?
Here you are, my man, and save the martinis for some poor wayward soul who hasn't the wherewithal to make the purchase.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Roberts. I didn't know you were expecting company so soon after...
Take Miss Matson's things, Montgomery, and bring her some martinis.
They're all made, sir.
Good. Let's go into the drawing room, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Modest little mousetrap, isn't it? And I'll bet it's had a good path beaten to its door, too.
Quite a sense of humor you have, Candy.
Well, it helps now and then.
Here, sit down here. That's it.
I can't quite see you. It's like being behind a retaining wall. Oh, well, I'll just listen. What's the topic of conversation?
A young lady named Donna Dunham.
Uh-huh, the female element. What is your connection?
Well, strictly that of a patron.
Oh?
Miss Dunham was a hat check girl over at the Scarlet Dawn. I heard her sing one night. I decided right then and there that I was going to sponsor her career.
Was?
Yes. Donna Dunham was murdered early this morning.
By you?
What? Are you out of your head?
Yes, when I think of the fee I'm going to get from you.
I beg your pardon, sir. The martinis.
What? Oh, yes. Put them down there, Montgomery.
Yes, sir.
Very good, Montgomery. I won't need anything else tonight.
Thank you, sir. Good night, miss.
Good night. Don't sleep too tight.
May I?
You certainly may. I've been waiting far too long for one of these.
There you are.
Well, as a sponsor, you didn't pick a protege with great lasting qualities, did you?
No, I didn't. She was so young, so very lovely. Will you take the case, Miss Matson?
What do I have to go on?
Oh, very little. Well, my suspicions point to a musician who worked at the Scarlet Dawn. He seemed to resent very strongly my stepping into the picture.
Were they going to get it?
Off and on. Until I started to back Donna's career.
A very interesting triangle. What do the police have to say?
The police, Miss Matson, have not yet been notified.
What?
I went over there this morning and I discovered the body lying on the floor. I became confused. I locked the door and called the Scarlet Dawn. I told the manager that Miss Dunham was quite ill and wouldn't be able to appear tonight.
Extremely ill, I'd say. Wow. This is fine. You realize you're in trouble, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And that if I take this case, I'm sticking my neck out, too?
Exactly.
My fee is $500.
That's a fair price.
In advance.
Well, I'll make out a check immediately. Oh! Won't you have another martini?
I don't think so.
You know, you are very beautiful.
Thank you. But I already have a sponsor.
And your lips are very, very kissable.
The best you can buy for Max Factors.
Are you sure you don't want another martini?
Look, Roberts, let's get this straight. You're in the middle of a jackpot. Make that check out right now so I can join you. Then it's up to me to spring the both of us. In the meantime, get that glint out of your eye. The one that's wired for wolf calls. Understood?
Very well.
I'll get started right away. Where does the late Miss Dunham live?
Just on the edge of Chinatown, 27B Gresham Alley. It's the only three-flat house on the block.
I'll find it. And you just stick right here and don't poke your face out of the door. Now, the check, if you will. Now, listen, you, if you think you're going to get... Well, send me back to the last line in the chorus, if it isn't old Hawkshaw himself.
Yeah, that's right. Hiya, Candy.
Mallard, how you ever got to be a police detective, I'll never know. I heard you trailing me for the last two blocks.
Maybe I wanted you to hear me. What are you doing over in Chinatown, Candy?
I like tomato chow yuck.
Uh-huh. Something up?
Not with you around, there isn't.
Look, Candy, just a little word of caution. We're laying for you.
Oh?
The chief isn't very happy about you busting up that Newton case last month.
Somebody had to. The score was still tied in the 27th inning.
Stop gagging, Candy. What are you doing around here? You don't like tomato chow yuck that much.
Well, maybe that oriental music sends me. By the way, where's the Scarlet Dawn, Mellard?
Huh? Right down there on the corner.
Come on. I'll buy you a double Mickey.
No, thanks. I just had one. And listen, Candy, take a tip. Don't interfere with the work of the police.
Don't worry about me, Mellard. And you take a tip, too. Next time you trail somebody, get yourself a pair of tennis shoes.
Yes, miss. You like a table?
No, thanks. No.
Something I can do?
Hmm? Oh. Oh, yes, I'm a friend of Donna Dunham's. She wanted me to come over and tell you that she's feeling better. She'll be back at work tomorrow night.
Well, that's good. Business at the hot chick stand, no good without her.
Yeah. Yes, she's a great girl. By the way, I don't see her boyfriend tonight.
Boyfriend?
You know, the fellow who plays in the band.
Oh, Donny Andrini. No, he got night off.
Oh, too bad. She wanted me to tell him, too.
Yep, too bad. Oh, maybe you'll find him at the Lotus Hotel. He lived there.
Oh, sure. The Lotus. Yes, I'll check there, and thank you very much.
Rembrandt Watson speaking.
Yes, I know. Now, look.
Photographs taken at reasonable prices.
I know, Rembrandt.
Family groups and portraits especially, also...
Rembrandt, this is I, Candy Madison.
Fine colored pictures of... What? Candy Matson?
That's right.
By all the furies of Zeus. Why did you have to call just now? I was wooing the muse that only Bacchus can create, probing the infinitesimal heights a soul can reach from the tear of the grape. And you have to call and spoil it all.
Look, Rembrandt, uncross your eyes and listen to me.
I shall listen, my Lily, but undoubtedly I won't like it. What skullduggery are you up to now?
I'm knee-deep in something that smells as high as the Oakland mud flats.
A towering comparison. What is it?
I can't tell you now, but I want you to do me a favor. Get your finest camera and go over to 27B Gresham Alley. Get inside and take all the pictures you can of the place.
Won't I be intruding?
No. There's a very attractive young lady there.
Oh, how delightful.
She's dead.
How dull. I dislike intensely one-sided conversations. All right. What do I do then?
Go back to your place and get me some prints as fast as you can.
I go, but not willingly. Only for you would I forsake the mood I have achieved through prodigious application.
Bully for you, laddie buck. I'll see you at your place in about an hour.
Pardon me. Are you the night clerk?
I ain't Sitting Bull. Yes, we have no rooms.
I'm not here for a room.
Oh? Well, maybe there's something I can do for you.
Yes. Could you tell me if Mr. Danny Andrini is in?
No, he isn't. Matter of fact, I haven't seen him all day.
Yes, I know. There's a reason. We had to take him to the hospital this morning.
What?
Yes. He's under observation for appendicitis.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
So, I was wondering if you'd let me have his key.
Huh?
He wants me to bring him his portable radio.
Does he have one?
Why, sir, did you ever know a musician who didn't own a portable radio?
I know, come to think of it. Yeah, here's the key. It's room 418.
Thank you. You're very kind.
Not at all. Not at all.
All right, Candy Metzen, start making like a private eye. Letters. Yes, over here. Promising. A whole pile of. Well, let's try this one. Dear Danny, I don't know how to start this, but your accusations last night need some sort of answering. I'm not in love with Warren Roberts and never will be. He's just proving to be a very kind and gracious friend. You must realize that I have placed my singing career above everything else, and I want to... Well, leave us confront the issue, Candy. Oh, hello, you.
Hello. I was wondering if I could be of any assistance.
Oh, no, it seems Mr. Andrini was out of his head.
Oh.
I mean, he doesn't seem to have a portable radio.
Oh.
I'll just be on my way.
Oh, now what's the rush? You don't have to leave right away. Wouldn't you like a drink or something?
No, not right now. I am pressed for time.
Oh.
And you know what, though?
Huh?
I'll be back later. How's that?
Sure. Fine. When?
Let's make it next Whitsuntide, huh? Goodbye.
On my soul, I'd like to have the popcorn concession here tonight. Come in.
Rembrandt, you're a double-crosser.
I, a double-crosser?
Yes.
My dear, you're mistaken.
Oh?
The only time I double-crossed was out in the country. I passed over a bridge, then I had to double-cross back.
Oh, no.
I found I'd left my knapsack with some rare vintage in it on the other side.
What are you doing here? You haven't had time to get the pictures I wanted.
That's just the point. To elucidate, I arrived at 27B Gresham Alley... and found it to be a most loathsome location.
That's beside the point. What happened?
I couldn't get in.
Oh, Rembrandt, I've done you a grave injustice. Of course you couldn't get in. Warren Roberts has the key.
Who's this minion Roberts?
I'll tell you later. We've got to work fast. Mallard sniffed something in the wrong key, and the police will be in on the deal before long.
Mallard, the gumshoe?
That's right. I've just got to get pictures of the layout so I can study them.
In my own fumbling fashion, Candy, my love, I have given birth to an idea.
Even from you, Rembrandt, I'll take it. I'm grabbing at straws.
Straws. Very effective with tall, cool Collins.
Never mind now. What's your idea?
Let us hie ourselves to a locksmith. Present ourselves as man and wife, and a peasant will make us a key. Voila! Entree to the Medderies apartment.
No, Rembrandt, that'll never work. Oh, wait a minute. Three flats to the house. I used to live in just that kind of a house out on Fulton Street when I was a kid.
A nauseating thought.
Rembrandt, those flats are identical. If we can get into the flat above, we can get what we want.
I think I fathom your reasoning, Candy. In other words, the living room is just the same.
That's right.
The dining room, likewise.
Check.
And the same goes for the bedroom, the kitchen, and even the,
That's right, even in there.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go slumming in Gresham Alley.
Go ahead, Rembrandt. Ring the bell.
Always I must do the labor.
Oh, pooh.
Well, I hope we don't disturb the dead in the middle flat.
You won't. From what I hear, she was done in sort of permanently.
Appears there's no one at home. Come on, Candy. Let's return and see what Bacchus has to offer.
No, wait. I thought I heard something. There, you see? Got all your flash bulbs?
As they say in the old country, have I lost my marbles? Open the door. Beauty before age, my dear.
Thank you, Rembrandt. Kind of dark in here.
With a peculiar aroma. Definitely smacks of the Far East.
Yes.
Something you folks wanted?
Chalk up, Candy. It's your cue.
Why, yes. May we come up?
What do you want?
Well, we're with a magazine, the House Lovely. We want to take a few photographs of your play.
At this hour?
The working press is never shackled by the hands on a clock, sir.
Sounds phony to me, but come on up. What do you want to take pictures of this beat-up joint for?
Well, you see, it's comparison. The old and the new. We've already taken pictures of a flat similar to this, only it's been remodeled. This is perfect for the contrast.
I guess it's all right. Go ahead.
Start with the hall, Rembrandt.
Roger, my pretty. Let's see. This should be just about right.
Mm-hmm. Now, the bedroom. That should be off the hall here. Oh, yes. Shoot from the door, Rembrandt. Did you get the entire room?
Not quite, but most of it.
That'll do.
Just a moment. There we are.
You cats work fast.
What was that?
I said you work fast.
Yes. Now, in the bathroom, do you have a tub or a shower?
Why don't you see for yourself?
No. On second thought, I think that's about all we need.
But Candy, you said that we
come
could...
along, Rembrandt, and thank you very much.
That's okay, and don't slam the door. The lady downstairs is sound asleep.
Rembrandt, I think I've got this thing licked.
Are you referring to this case or my desire to return to the arms of Bacchus?
That I could never lick. I'm talking about the case. But I need help, Rembrandt.
I'm here.
No. That's not enough. I need the big, strong arm of the law.
Oh, no. Candy, you traitor.
I hate to admit it, but I need somebody like Mallard.
Am I being paid?
Oh, no. It's the wicked genie.
Yikes, it's the gumshoe.
Yep, in person.
Mallard, how did you get here?
I took your advice and bought some tennis shoes. All right, Spill, what goes on? Been following you around till I'm punchy. Start talking, Candy.
Okay, so you heard me. I do need your help, Mallard. Badly. There was a young girl murdered yesterday at 27B Gresham Alley.
Is that the place you just came from?
That's right.
Why don't we ever hear of these things?
Oh, I get exclusive rights. Anyway, I think I have the whole deal figured out. You can have full credit, Mallard, but you've got to take my advice.
It hurts, but go ahead.
Now go back to 27C Gresham Alley. That's the top flat.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find a character there named Danny Andrini. Take him. Then get out to 5711 Pacific Street as fast as you can.
All right, I'll do it. But, Candy, so help me, if this is a foul-up on you, the new look with stripes is going to be very fashionable.
She knows what she's doing, Mallard. When you get back to Gresham Alley, just tell Mr. Andrini that you're from House Lovely. He'll adore you.
This is it, Rembrandt. I just hope my man Montgomery hasn't retired as yet.
What are we doing out here on Pacific, Candy? This is out of our league.
All of a sudden, I've become socially conscious. Come on, Montgomery, answer the door. Ah, right on cue.
I beg your pardon. Did you ring?
No, Montgomery. We crossed the moat and used a battering ram.
I'm sorry, young lady. Mr. Roberts doesn't wish to be disturbed.
Look, Montgomery, remember me? I was here earlier this evening. Mr. Roberts and I had a martini together.
Martinis? Well, it was worth a safari out here after all.
Oh, I'm sorry, miss. I didn't recognize you at first. Yes, do come in, won't you?
The light dawned.
If you'll just wait in the drawing room, miss, I'll inform Mr. Roberts of your presence.
Thank you very much, Montgomery.
I used to know a chap like that in the British Army. By continual groveling and studied abjectedness, he worked his way up to the rank of a private.
Thanks, Rembrandt. That's the first laugh I've had tonight.
What's the pitch, Candy? I don't get it.
You will in a minute. Shh. I hear the patter of little feet.
Miss Matson, what's the idea?
I thought you were going to check with me by phone.
Mr. Roberts, this thing is bigger than either of us. I just couldn't wait.
Is there a martini in the house?
I'll have Montgomery serve in just a moment.
I don't think there'll be time, Mr. Roberts. Well, where is she?
Upstairs.
You really loved her, didn't you?
Madly.
That just about describes it. Madly. And while you were, shall we say, sponsoring her career, you thought she was playing around with Danny Andrini as well.
Yes, she was.
You're wrong, Robert. I have a letter from Donna Dunham to Danny Andrini. In effect, she told him to blow, skedaddle, vamoose.
What?
That's right. So it seems we have a slight case of mistaken murder on our hands, doesn't it?
Yes. On one hand. On the other, I have two in mind that will be deliberate. You asked for it, Miss Matson. Too bad you had to bring your friend along.
I wouldn't if I were you, Robert.
A writer has a pistol. I thought you said he served martinis.
This isn't exactly a social moment. I know how you private eyes work. You're lone wolves. You confide in no one. So with a pull of the finger, I erase all evidence. Just like this.
He's dead. Oh, I'm really grateful to you, but where on earth did you come from?
Like I say, Candy, you just can't beat these tennis shoes.
Well, that fills everything up except for one thing. Where do we go now for the martinis?
And that's how it happened. My phone rings and I'm into the darndest message you ever heard of. Sure, Roberts killed her. He was jealous. And I knew I was on the right track when Rembrandt said the apartment above Donna Dunham's smelled like the Far East. It was tobacco odor, the same Turkish aroma I had smelled in Robert's home out on Pacific Street. Danny Andrini? Well, he was waiting for Roberts to return. He was going to kill him. He knew that Roberts had rented the flat above Dunham for sponsoring purposes. Donna was a nice kid. She was just caught in the middle, black.
Case by Candy Matson. The original air date for that was the 4th of April, 1949. Candy Matson aired from the 29th of June, 1949 to the 20th of May, 1951. It was written, directed, and produced by Monty Masters and starred his wife, Natalie Masters. I believe that was a sustained show, meaning they didn't have a sponsor, so it runs, on my total, about 25 minutes, 26 minutes and 42 seconds, as opposed to typical 30 minutes with commercials, you know, commercial break, sponsors for whatever. So I think right now, we'll go to Digital George and Henry for a second.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun 1980. WMFO, Medford.
Thanks, guys. Next up for the double billing. I know some people have been wanting the six shooter. I will return to the six shooter when this fall term starts here. I don't know when that is, a couple of weeks perhaps. Because I still got half a season of the six shooter to play. So, instead of harping on the six shooter, lamenting the six shooter, I'm going to play another one of Anthony Ellis's Frontier Gentlemen. I'm kind of liking this J.P. Kendall. This is episode 4. I believe this was a sustained show as well, meaning it didn't have a sponsor. This one's called Kendall's Last Stand. The original air date was the 23rd of February, 1958. Just like to mention, we are having some technical difficulties with the automation Rivendell system here. If anybody's listening, I sent a email out to ops and the sub list just for your information.
Or later, every man meets his Waterloo, even in Montana Territory. At the time Colonel Custer was meeting his, I very nearly met mine.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I had received permission to accompany a troop of soldiers and packers up the Yellowstone to the mouth of Rosebud Creek, and through the kindness of a Lieutenant Snow, in charge of the supply depot, had found quarters aboard the river steamer Far West. There was an air of expectancy about. A scout had brought news that the main concentration of the Sioux Army had been sighted somewhere between the Rosebud and the Bighorn. It was Lieutenant Snow who informed me.
Well, they've sent Custer in the 7th, Mr. Kendall. We'll see an end to it now. He'll finish the Sioux.
I wish I had known. I'd like to have gone with him.
Well, maybe Custer will bring back Sitting Bull or Crazy Horse. You'll be able to have your interviews.
I've about given up hope.
Oh, don't worry. If they're still alive when the colonel's through with them, you'll get your chance.
Glad to hear it.
Oh, they should have let Custer attack the Sioux a long time ago. Well, now you'll see. He'll massacre them.
Lieutenant! Oh, how are you, Mr. Kendall?
Well, thank you, Captain.
Lieutenant, just got word there are civilians up at Castle Butte. I haven't got anybody else for the job, so you'll have to do it.
Bring them in, Captain?
Yes. We haven't had any reports of enemy movement in that area, but watch yourself. I can't spare you more than 4 men and a Crow scout. Now, if you do run into hostiles, turn back. Don't engage them. That's an order, Snow.
Yes, sir. And the civilians?
Well, that's their lookout. They were ordered in a month ago. If you can get them out safely, good. If not, don't risk the lives of your men. There's been enough heroics around here.
I won't risk the lives of the men, sir.
Very sensible. See that you don't. Now, we'll leave immediately, and the location is here. You better cross west to Porcupine Creek and then head north.
Captain Thomas, I wonder, if Lieutenant Snow has no objection, may I go with him?
Well, I don't suppose there's any reason why you shouldn't. Snow?
Fine with me, sir.
I thought you'd want to be here, Mr. Kendall, when the conquering hero returns. Make an interesting story for your London Times.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, we'll be back in time, Mr. Kendall. Captain Thomas is referring to Colonel Custer.
The young lieutenant and I don't see eye to eye about the colonel.
No, we don't, sir.
Well, it's a matter of opinion. I won't bore you with mine, Mr. Kendall. Snow, you'll issue a horse and a rifle to Mr. Kendall and see that he signs for them.
Yes, sir.
Good luck.
There are times when it's hard to remember rank. The trouble with him is he's not West Point. He resents anybody else who is. Well, you've just had a good look at professional jealousy, Kendall.
Odd. I wouldn't have thought that of the captain.
Oh, pretty obvious, isn't it? Come along. We'd better get going. You see, the captain thinks it was a mistake to send Custer after the Sioux.
Why?
Well, our military genius is of the opinion that Custer's a bad soldier. Out for personal gain, that he's too impetuous, that it'll make a mess of things. Of course, there's also the incidental point that Thomas is a captain, 2 years older than Custer, who's a colonel. And that's where I say the trouble is.
When I was in the army in India, I had an officer who affected me that way. He was a colonel, too. Dreadful old blunderbuss. I was positive I knew more than he did.
Well, did you?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did. He ordered us to attack a Sikh stronghold. There must have been 2,000 tribesmen, and we had about 400 lancers. I suggested it might be a mistake, and he nearly died of apoplexy. I somehow wish he had. Only 30 of us got out of that mess alive. Our destination was some 15 miles north and west of the mouth of Rosebud Creek. There were 7 of us. Lieutenant Snow, Sergeant Wilson, 3 troopers, and a Crow Indian scout with the intriguing name of Six Toes. Intriguing because, as far as I could determine, he had only 5 on each foot. We had traveled fast without incident when the scout brought us to a halt.
Smoke over hill, near Castle Butte.
Any sign of Sioux or Sham?
Have been passing this way. Maybe small party, 7, 8.
Sergeant? How long ago, Six Toes?
Walk a mile, maybe less.
He means 20 minutes or less.
Ah.
Sir?
Six Toes says there's a sign of the enemy, Wilson. Smoke just over the hill. Now, they may have attacked the party we're looking for. Stay here and keep your eyes open. I'm going to ride up the hill and take a look.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'd like to come along.
All right, Kendall. Six Toes, you too.
Here. Yep.
Can't see what it's coming from. Trees are in the way.
Well, if it's a raiding party, we might still get them. See that cane to the left? We could ride through there.
Well, nasty place for an ambush, though.
Worth the chance. We'd come up under cover of the trees.
Not good place if Sioux got big party waiting.
No reason why they should. There haven't been any reports of any big war parties up here. Probably a few renegades. Sergeant Wilson?
Look here, old boy. It's none of my business, but 4 men in those rocks could hold off a small army. Wouldn't it be safer to take the direct approach? Open country? You'd stand a better chance.
Mr. Kendall, I don't know how you fought in India, but over here, surprise tactics are the only way. Beat the Indian at his own game, outguess him.
Yes, very sound. When you can do it.
What is it, Lieutenant?
You see that canyon, Sergeant? We're going through. If the Sioux are where the smoke is, we'll take them by surprise, wipe them out. Oh, you hear that? Settlers are holding more. Kendall, you want to stay here? We'll pick you up on our way back.
I think I'd rather come along. Don't want to miss the fun.
Whoop! Whoop! Whoop!
out down the hill toward the narrow canyon. Lieutenant Snow is sitting erect in his saddle, eyes sparkling with excitement, a smile on his lips. I had seen such a look before in young subalterns going into their first battle, unafraid, not knowing.
Up together! Oh!
The mouth of the canyon drew closer. The shadows reached out to us. Then we were in it, the walls looming on either side. I didn't look back. I knew from the sound of that first volley what had happened. And when I emerged from the canyon, there was only one other man a short distance behind me. It was the Crow Indian scout.
Go around the trees! Don't go through!
Yeah. Now take a look. See if anyone's alive in there. I'll try the smaller cabin.
Where are the others?
We didn't expect to find anyone alive.
I saw you on the hill. Fired the shots. I was afraid you'd go away.
We better go inside.
All burned in other cabin.
He's an Indian. He's not coming in.
Six Toes is a Crow scout for the army. A friend.
I heard shooting in the canyon. Did the soldiers kill them?
I'm afraid not. We were the only ones to escape.
They saw you. That's why they left. Now they'll come back.
How many were there?
Seven, to begin with. We killed two.
Well, not so bad. You should be able to defend us quite nicely, I think. Yes. I'm sorry. Six Toes, I'm going out to the horses to get the rest of the ammunition and our canteens. Cover me from the window. Oh, there, Ho. Oh, boy. Quiet. Quiet, boy. There.
I'm sorry. That was a very foolish thing to do. I'm all right now.
Good.
I've got a gun and ammunition. I know how to shoot.
Couldn't be better. Six Toes, keep watch where you are. The lady and I'll take this side.
My name is Amelia Mitchell.
How do you do? I'm J.B. Kendall.
Did you see a little boy out there? In the other cabin?
No, but perhaps he...
He was in there. With my brother and the other men. They were putting up a stockade when the Indians started to shoot. I was in here getting some nails. I saw what happened through the window. It was so quick. Then there was the fire. And the cries. I hope he died before the fire.
Your boy?
My son. 10 years old. It's not right, is it?
No. It's not right.
You, tall man.
Yes?
Indians coming. Cheyenne. See them through trees.
Where?
Wait. You see. There.
All right. Now don't waste shots. We'll wait for them to come out into the open.
Hey,
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. Do you have questions on satellites, Davis Cup teams, a new medical technique? Answer, please, with Walter Cronkite as your answer. Hear him every weekday evening on most of these stations. And send your questions to Answer, Please, CBS Radio, New York 22, New York. That's Answer, Please, CBS Radio, New York 22, New York. And now we return you to Anthony Ellis' production of Frontier Gentlemen. We waited for the Cheyenne to come out into the clearing, away from the cover of the trees, but they didn't. Neither did we get a chance for a decent shot at them. The sun began to go down. Shadows lengthened. In the little cabin, a shaft of pale sunlight poured through a crack in the heavy shutters. It was very warm. Amelia Mitchell, possibly 35. Rather tall, her face glistening in the heat, the Winchester rifle held firm in her broad hands. I was suddenly and unaccountably very conscious of her.
They must be waiting for nightfall.
Possibly. Anything on your side, Six Toes?
Nothing moves.
You're English, aren't you?
Yes.
Where did you go to school, Oxford?
As a matter of fact, it was Cambridge.
Oh.
Disappointed?
No. I thought it would be Oxford. If my boy had lived, I would have liked him to go to Oxford or Harvard. One of those fine colleges. Strange talking about him now. As though he'd been gone a long time. I suppose I never did have him, really. Not really.
Was your husband in the other cabin?
No. I've never been married. I came out here with my brother. He thought it would be best for us, my boy and me. Best to make a new life.
Oh, well, I...
You don't have to be embarrassed now that the boy is gone. I'm glad to talk about it. I was a school teacher. After the war, I met a man. He was a returning hero. It was lonely. I never saw him again after that one time.
You could have married.
No. A decent man wouldn't have wanted that.
Well, for me, there was somebody in England. I suppose not quite the same thing, but... she married somebody else. I think I felt very much the same way as you did. It was a mistake.
It's funny, you and me, you and I, talking like this.
What were you doing here?
My brother and the others were in partnership, mining. We thought we might have found a rich vein.
Well, when this is over, you'll be very rich. Do the things, see what you've always wanted to, go to Europe, England.
Is Lieutenant Snow? They are...
I know. There's nothing we can do. Better go back to your post.
Soon dark comes, tall man. Maybe then they attack. Is not good thing to hear.
That's a pretty good reason why they're doing it. You afraid?
I am a crow. I'm not afraid of noise. I know what Cheyennes do. Of this I am afraid.
We'll try a diversion. Might bring them out. And no more than 3 rounds each. Fire between the trees. Perhaps one of us will be lucky enough to hit poor old Snow. No good. I knew that with darkness they would come. There would be no moon. They would wait and then set fire to the cabin. If we tried to run out, it would be mercifully quick. A bullet. Nothing more. I'm not sure what it was that made me decide
the sight of the woman standing next to me or the sound of Lieutenant Snow's agony. But suddenly I knew what had to be done. Look here. We can wait until they burn us out, or we can do something. Six Toes, will you go out there with me?
We are two against them. Woman, no good.
She will stay here.
I'm not afraid to die, as my father has done fighting Cheyenne, but would like to take one scalp with me, tall man.
In a few minutes, it should be dark enough. If we can get out of here without them seeing us, and no rifles, we'll take our pistols, but I don't want to use them unless we absolutely have to.
Hatchet.
And knife, quietly.
Is good.
Now the back window, then cut around behind them in the trees.
They not think white man will do this.
I hope not.
Woman fires into trees many times while we go.
Yes, and keep it up for a minute or two. Give us a chance to get out there.
All right.
I think you know what to do if we don't come back, Miss Mitchell.
I know. Goodbye, Mr. Kendall.
Start firing. Wait. Oh, the poor Waller. Quietly now, Six Toes.
You make good Indian.
Won't be long now, Snow. Won't be long. I can see two of them standing over the lieutenant.
Another over there, behind high bush.
Yes, that's three. Where's the other two? All right, stay here. I'll get the chappie at the bush.
You bring back scalp.
And the civilized devil, of course not.
You get him?
I get him. Your turn, dear fellow. Two more and we can use our guns.
There?
Huh? Where?
Two near trees, looking out to cabin.
Ah. Come on. We'll never get across the clearing without them seeing us. Can you throw the hatchet?
Very good at throwing. You watch.
Together. One. Last fine bloody aim you've got. Quick. I can barely see them now. Shoot, and for Lord's sake, don't miss. Shoot! Six Toes got three scalps that night. We carried Lieutenant Snow back to the cabin. That he was still alive was a miracle. It would have perhaps been better had he been dead. Amelia Mitchell did what she could for him, but he died in the early morning. When we returned to the Rosebud the next day, the battle of Little Bighorn was over. As Lieutenant Snow had predicted, it had been a massacre. Custer's troops had been wiped out. Those other wounded under Major Reno's command were being carried aboard the riverboat, the Far West. I stood with Miss Mitchell and Captain Thomas, watching the wounded being carried aboard. Where would they take them, Captain Thomas?
Downriver to the hospital. Doesn't seem possible. Two of my best friends were with Custer. Porter, Sturgis, both gone.
I'm sorry.
It was a mistake. A terrible mistake.
Yes. I imagine it was.
You and Miss Mitchell will go with the wounded?
Miss Mitchell will.
I'll see you on board.
You're not going?
No, I don't think so.
I see.
And you...
I'll be able to help at the hospital. Then, sooner or later, there'll be a school out here. I'll teach again.
Oh. You'll get married. There'll be other children besides those in your school.
I don't know. What about you?
I'll be sending my story to the London Times, then I'll go north. There's a town called Fort Benton.
I hope we shall meet again, Mr. Kendall.
I hope so, Miss Mitchell. Well, you'd better go aboard now. Good luck.
Goodbye.
Frontier Gentleman was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Clark Gordon, Lawrence Dobkin, and Jack Moyles. Music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Success of the fight for freedom depends upon our getting the truth to people behind the Iron Curtain. If the spark to freedom is to stay alive, Radio Free Europe must remain on the air. You can help keep it there by contributing your truth dollars now to Crusade for Freedom. Just send your contribution to Crusade for Freedom in care of your local postmaster. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentleman.
Frontier Gentleman, original air date 23rd of February 1958. The computer's down right now, so I'm just going to go ahead and play one last song. Let's hope like heck I can get Matt up the whirlpool. This is Arthur, the son of the Grand Hour, 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford. Since school's starting, I chose this Chuck Berry number to at least play off my set.
In the morning, you are listening to WMFO in Medford.